Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 260 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? It has been a while since we have spoken. And one of the reasons for that is I took my own advice and I tuned out. I took a weekend off from, not 100%, but for the most part, from my digital presence, social media, texting, whatever, because, man, I was just getting tired in the last couple of weeks. Just too many time zones. That happens to me sometimes between the Family Feud tour and a couple of corporate gigs and so on. I was jumping back and forth from the East Coast to the West Coast to the East Coast to the Midwest to the West, blah, blah, blah. And I was just beat. And recently, sadly, a friend of mine, a guy named Chance Howard, brilliant singer who works with a woman named Candy Dulfer, Chance had a bad accident. It stemmed from him going, pushing too hard, and after a gig, driving home and falling asleep behind the wheel. And, you know, he's gonna be all right. It's a long road to recovery, but I could easily do the same thing. And I chose not to when I did feel myself nodding off and almost hit a parked car. And I'm so glad I didn't. My insurance, I got too many toys to have to raise my insurance. So anyway, I know that's a quality problem, first world problem, but it's true. So anyway, been gone for a while. I'm back. It is Veterans Day. I want to give a shout out to the veterans and the troops, and the work that they do and the sacrifice they make is unbelievable. I've been honored to entertain them all around the world. I love you men and women and the work you do. And I believe this is my thought that every taxpayer should pay a $1, I don't know what you want to call it, surcharge, whatever, that goes directly to veterans. Money that can't be touched or divided up by Congress or the president or anything else. There's 140 million taxpayers in America. $140 million going direct to veterans benefits, medical care, mental health care, care. I think would be worthwhile. And I don't think $1 would hurt anybody, especially not those billionaires who hate paying taxes. So all that being said, here we go. I'm going to start with the elections. Election day was last week. Another blue wave, mini blue wave, blue something happened. Virginia, the legislature is now Democratic, the House and the legislature and the governor, it's all Democratic now, which is great. I'll talk about it later, but I learned something there, and it's good news what I learned. In Kentucky, a Democrat won as governor, and this isn't an old Southern Democrat because they used to win Kentucky all the time. This is an actual Democrat. So Andy Beshear won the election by about 5,000 votes. So, of course, the former governor, Bevin, went to the legislature. Now, Kentucky has some kind of rule that if an election is disputed, the legislature can decide who won. And supposedly, it's not supposed to apply to the governor or lieutenant governor. But as we know, Republicans hate to lose, and they find ways to win elections even when they lost the election. So it'll be interesting what happens. Of course, Bevin's going to claim voter fraud because it was only a 5,000 vote margin. So that's not a lot of voters, but he'll claim voter fraud, and they're trying to flim-flam now. And unfortunately, if it goes to the courts, I think we know how that works. George Bush. So we'll see what happens. Now, there were some other things regarding the election and the time. So let me talk about what I said about learning something, and it was a good lesson. So I was on the Young Turks last week. If you ever listen to the Young Turks, by the way, I enjoy the show. I think it's great. It is a progressive, far left news show available online. You can subscribe on YouTube or check it out. I love the Young Turks because I don't agree with everything they say, but they still have me on regularly, and I agree with a lot of what they say. And more importantly, I learn whenever I'm on that show. I think Cenk and Anna and John and Brooke and the regular hosts do a fantastic job. So I was there last week, and I was talking about it. Now, they're big Bernie people, by the way. They're big Bernie people. And as you know, I'm not a big Bernie guy. I will absolutely support Bernie if he is the Democratic nominee in 2020, okay? But I'm not a big Bernie guy. So I was saying that in my travels, and this happened because I was in Virginia the week before Election Day, socialist is not a compliment. In most of America, socialist is not a compliment. And while I was in Virginia, they were running these ads against a woman running for Congress, calling her a socialist, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York. That's two strikes of evil, socialist and New York. Well, she did win. And like I said, the Virginia legislature did change. So maybe I'm wrong. And I hope I am. I love that progressive agenda. I think a lot of the progressive agenda needs to be listened to and respected by whether you want to call them corporate or establishment or now boomer Democrat. Boomer is an evil thing, which I barely made the cutoff. You know, used to be I wasn't a boomer. They used to cut off boomers in 1960. Then they stretched it to 1964. I was born in 62. So I guess I've joined the club. That's okay. I got bad knees. I got aches and pains, so I could be a boomer. But anyway, maybe this has turned. Now, whenever I'm on the Turks, I get attacked for that. And one of the funny attacks was, well, what do you know? Most of your audience is over 35. Sorry to tell you, but voters are mostly over 35. So listen, again, I hope I'm wrong on this and that the social, the agenda of the progressives is respected more and becomes more a part of the, quote, mainstream Democratic agenda. I've always said the problem with the Democrats is they can't work together. So if the, quote, establishment Democrats can learn from the, quote, progressive Democrats, great, work together, win the election. You got to win the election. That's what the Republicans know that the Democrats don't. You have to win the election. The Republicans are like, we're going to win the election even if we didn't win the election. That's why we packed the courts, which is a whole nother thing that the Democrats need to learn to do. Now, Barack Obama, whom, I love. not perfect, but are you kidding? Black president, I believe the title of my CD was, He Had Me at Black, still counts. So Barack Obama spoke about the, quote, woke young progressives who use social media to call out problematic people. And he says that these progressives don't understand that people who do good things sometimes have flaws, and calling them out is not a real activist move. I disagree with Barack Obama on that. We need to call these people out. Yes, sometimes, you know, it's something you did in your past doesn't really matter to who you are. You may have had bad judgment. You may have got drunk one night or whatever. That's one thing. But if it's systematic or if you are unapologetic, hello, Kavanaugh, then it's a problem. Like Kavanaugh is a perfect example. This is a guy to whom white privilege was normal. And as a rich white male, sexually abusing, taking advantage of, or whatever, to women was okay with him. And it wasn't, you know, a one-time thing. It wasn't accidentally touching a breast. It wasn't his hand on a woman's lower back that might have touched her. This is what we do. And that's problematic. Listen, to give an example, well, I mean, Kavanaugh is obviously an example, but it's like you can't say, you know, well, he's a racist, but he's generous. You know, he gives a lot of money. No, you can't do that. And I'm using extreme examples. Sports is a perfect example. Sports will forgive any behavior if your performance is still good, right? So, yeah, he might beat his kids, but he runs a 4-2. That kind of thing happens, particularly in football. And I had a big problem with it in the NFL, when the NFL would forgive any activity as long as you were a good player. Now, once you're once you're no longer good, once your career starts slipping in sports, then, and again, this is particularly with the NFL, then they would cut you, then they would kick you out. But if you were top performer, they'd overlook a lot, and particularly abuse of women. You know, I said it before, and I stand by it. If Michael Vick had been abusing women and not dogs at the peak of his career, they would have overlooked it. Sad but true. So, again, I'm going to an extreme, but I use extreme to as an example. But what Barack Obama is saying is that it's not activism to call out people. It is activism, because some of these things maybe they need to respond to, other things maybe we need to know about. So, yeah, if there is problematic behavior in someone's history, not saying that anyone's perfect. Look, Barack Obama's not perfect. Now, I don't know what we're going to find, man. That's a tough one, you know, but it's nobody's perfect and nobody's expected to be perfect, but there are certain problematic behaviors that should be called out if someone is running for a position of leadership, or they should apologize for, or at least acknowledge that they did wrong. Okay. So that's what I think. Yeah, it is activism. It is. Now, there's more to it than that, but that is a step in activism. So that's just my opinion. What's my opinion worth? I don't know. I got 35,000 followers who I love, who I'm not dismissing, my Twitter followers, but he's Barack Obama, so he's got more than that. Moving on. And speaking of protests and woke cultures and so on, the baby Trump balloon, okay? I think it's time to retire the baby Trump balloon. We've all seen the crying baby Trump balloon. They had the balloon in Alabama because Trump went to the Alabama LSU game where he didn't get booed, by the way. Imagine that. But someone stabbed the baby Trump. I don't think the baby Trump balloon bothers him. I think if we really want to drive Trump crazy, what we need are Obama balloons. That would drive him absolutely nuts. Can you imagine his motorcade driving down the road and him seeing 100 floating Barack Obama heads? He would lose his mind. So hopefully that's the next balloon we see. Obama heads floating in 2020. I'm with it. Now, I want to talk about polarization, okay? I read an interesting article that talked about the impeachment hearings and saying that, you know, it's divided along party lines and blah, blah, blah. Yes and no. No. As a matter of fact, no and no. It's not about party lines. Listen, the president has been accused, and there seems to be credible evidence that he went to a foreign entity, the government of Ukraine, and asked them to dig up dirt to work against an American political candidate. That is wrong. That is borderline criminal and definitely an impeachable offense, okay? So the fact that the Republicans are trying to cover for him doesn't give them a credible argument. That's just party. The Democrats are not sticking to party lines. The Democrats are dealing with reality. We all know that if this was reversed, if Obama or any Democrat had done this, the Republicans would be losing their minds. But I think if that had been the case, Democrats wouldn't be so quick to protect him. Let's face it, Democrats don't protect any Democrats. They're so quick to sacrifice their own. It's ridiculous. But this is not a division along party lines. If someone's a criminal, if someone steals something, okay, and you saw him steal it and you know he stole it, just because you're a Democrat and you say he stole that, well, that's the party belief. No, it's not. So could the media please stop covering it as if it is? The procedure is the procedure. This is how it's done. There was always closed-door hearings in an impeachment. There were closed-door hearings in the Clinton impeachment. There were closed-door hearings in the Nixon impeachment. And the press knows this. So stop giving a false equivalency to this. It's the false equivalency narrative is bullshit. It's not the same. Now, I'm going to keep going with this because I read this, and it's an article from The Atlantic, and again, this kind of stuff, I don't buy this line of thinking. So Tara Westover, raised by survivalist parents in the mountains of rural Idaho, she didn't go to school. Dad said public school was a ploy by the government to lead children away from God, okay? She wrote a memoir called Educated, and she says that, you know, America is divided, and this is the problem, that America's divided between rural and urban, Democrat, Republican, left, right, whatever. And she says that Donald Trump, we act like he's a problem, but he's not. He's just a symptom of what she calls poor political hygiene. Social media has flooded our consciousness with caricatures of each other. Human beings are reduced to data. We think we know someone because they're pro-choice or pro-life, or they drive a truck versus driving a Prius, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's okay. But now, here's where I have really problems, really big problems with what she says. Oh, and she says our political system requires us to have a basic level of respect for each other. In other words, if we had more of a shared experience or believed in each other's shared experience as Americans, our system would work better. And I think that's true, and I get that. But this is my big problem. Excusing horrible ignorance and horrible behavior, okay? She talks about the modern economy works well for cities and bad for the countryside. Okay, well, that's it. It's the modern economy. The modern economy depends on education and tech and communication. So get with the program. You can't just sit in the hills of Idaho and be upset that you're still in a recession when you refuse to go to public school. The fuck? Are you kidding me? People rely on agriculture and manufacturing. The old economy has sunk into a deep decline. Yeah, because the economy has changed. We're in a global economy now. Right, wrong, or indifferent, manufacturing is done in places where it costs less. Now, to the people who are mad about that, you weren't mad when states like Tennessee and the Carolinas and Georgia stole manufacturing from states like Detroit and Ohio. Okay, they did it the same way. You're complaining about your jobs going to China or Mexico. If you go back 30, 40 years, auto manufacturing, ask people in Detroit where it went. Their jobs didn't go to China. Their jobs went to Tennessee, okay, because Tennessee said, hey, we're a right-to-work state, which is, it's always look behind the slogan, and the opposite is true. It wasn't right-to-work. It was we're non-union. Come down here. You don't have to pay people union wages. That's where the jobs went. So now you're complaining about the economy has moved to cities. Too bad. Now she talks about they asked her, and this is in the Atlantic. Okay, the article's called "The Places Where the Recession Never Ended." They asked, "How do you factor in xenophobia and racism and tribalism?" And she says, "In a climate of desperation and economic realignment, the people become tribal." And I'm paraphrasing. I'm not reading the full article to you. This doesn't make it okay. It doesn't, just because you're dumb enough to believe when Trump tells you that Mexicans are the problem and black people are evil and going to kill you. You know what combats that? Education. Educate yourselves. Learn more. Deal with other people. Okay, again, if you're in the hills of Idaho and or any place like that, and you've only seen white people and therefore all brown and black people are evil, and I'm not saying that's true of everyone, but that's true of a lot of these people, and it's true of a damn hell of a lot of Trump supporters. How is that our problem? Why do we have to, why do I have to put white people at ease? And believe me, I have to put white people at ease. Just last week, I was in an elevator, and this white couple got in, and just because I was standing there, they were scared to death. And I was joking. I could see on this guy's face, he was looking at his woman like, I can't protect you. What the fuck? Do I care about them in an elevator? No. Am I going to attack them? No. But this is what they believe. So I'm supposed to somehow put them at ease? Okay? This woman's... It's so flawed what she's saying, Because it's like, get with the times. Yeah, the economy has moved to cities. So either move to a city or accept the fact that this is the case and educate yourself and learn how to work with this technology from your rural place. If that's where you want to live, that's fine. But don't blame. It says here, she said that, okay, she says you can see this at the state level, this political divide. The 20 poorest states, 18 of them went for Trump. The 10 richest states, 9 went for Hillary Clinton. Yeah, well, get on board. Okay, get on board. If you're going to sit back and you're going to vote based on your racism and your fear, and then you feel left out of the economy, if you're a sucker enough to believe Trump, guess where Trump's from? Trump is a New York City multimillionaire. He's not a billionaire. He's lying about that. He's a multimillionaire from New York City. And you live in some rural place where you're broke and poor and you're like, this guy's going to represent me? No. No. How about this? Rather than dumb down to their level, how about they work on educating themselves to everyone else's level? How about they work on opening their minds to the fact that people in the world from all over the world are different? I'll always love that I grew up in New York. Why? And we were talking about this summer. I had a high school reunion. And my high school, man, we had students from everywhere in the world. I had friends who were Korean, Puerto Rican, South American, African, people all over. You know what? And we talked about, we said, man, you know how tiring it would be to be a racist in New York? You just be working all day, every day, just coming up with names for all the different people in New York. Is New York perfect? No. Is New York friendly? No. Are they more friendly in a small town? Yeah. But we're talking about economics here, okay? If economics is part of your quality of life. Now listen, if you're happy in a small town because everybody knows each other and they're all friendly, that's fine. But then don't complain about cities having the power, because cities are the economic engine which drive the country. That's just the way it is. So I don't buy a lot of this woman's arguments. She's entitled to her opinion. She's moved to New York. She talks about how different it is from rural Idaho. All of that is fine. God bless her. But I'm going to follow it up with another article, okay? And this is about Boise, which I have been to. And Boise is a great small... Well, I haven't been there in a few years, but when I went, I loved Boise. I thought Boise was a very cool small city. And the mayoral election, and I'm not even sure who won this election, but the big thing that one of the candidates he was talking, go back to California. He's mad at deep-pocketed Golden States. Blame him for pushing up home price, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, see, that's an example. Small town just demonize people from the big city. You know what people from the big city bring? Money. Money. Lots of money. Yeah, the price of houses go up because they can afford the houses. Well, that's how it goes. But your whole economy also grows as a result of it. So what's your solution? Yeah, we hate California. So it's some football player who played for, this is a candidate's joke answer. If you were king or queen for a day, what's the one thing you would do to improve Boise? And he put a $26 billion wall. It's a joke, but this is the mentality they have. So I say, screw them. You know, this is too big. If you're from California, you want to move to Boise, go. Buy a house. Buy two of them. You can buy three of them for the price of a California house. I had a friend who recently left LA, moved to Detroit, bought a house for one-third the price he was paying. If that's your choice, God bless you. But these people in a small city like Boise saying, go back to California, we hate you, and then complaining about their stagnant economy, no, you can't have both. Okay? You can't have both. So, too bad. Am I a city guy? Hell yeah! I'm a city guy. Without cities, I wouldn't have pro basketball. Just saying. But again, no, I'm not inherently anti-rural areas. My grandmother was from South Carolina. I loved the fact that I grew up and got to visit that farm and stuff like that. And I don't think, what am I doing? Justifying my opinion? No. Stop. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. I'm not sitting here justifying my opinion. I've had enough. I'm going to I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. I'm going to wrap this up on a good note. So Donald Trump Jr. has a book. And no, it is not a coloring book. But then again, it might be a coloring book, because I'll be damned if I've looked at try to read it. But apparently, on his book tour, he keeps getting booed off. He had the problem on The View. He was at UCLA, which I don't know what the hell he's doing at UCLA. But the book is a snowflake book. Triggered: How the Left Thrives on Hate and Wants to Silence Us. Yeah, it's the left that brought up the hate. So him and his girl were on stage, and they were getting booed off because they wouldn't answer questions in a Q&A. And who booed them off? Not the left, but the right. The supporters who got in booed him for not being willing to ask questions, because they were going to be tough questions. Mr. Trump, I'm trying to color within the lines, but some of the lines are too close for my blunt crayon. Can you help me? These are the type of questions you got to deal with. So, screw them. That's it. Listen, I got to get on the road, man. I got to get to Vegas. Vegas, baby. Vegas. All week, I will be at the Brad Garrett Comedy Club at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. I love that club. I love that town. So let me get on the road and get there. Happy holiday season. Yeah, we're deep into Christmas. It's a week after Halloween. So, you know, we're right there. Go buy a gift for somebody. And if you need to unplug and if you need to tune out, I highly recommend you do it. Hell, tune out after you listen to this podcast. Don't forget, Fear Not. I'm also on that with Barry Glassner. Great podcast. Love you. Thank you. And good night.